all the time. God is good. It's great to be here with you today. I love being in God's house. I love being in God's presence. I love feeling the Holy Spirit. I love being with Christians in God's house. I love not having that conflict that we don't have outside sometimes. Just love being in the presence of God. We've been in the presence of God this morning. We've been in the presence of God. It's great. I'm just going to share something that's not in my words. Just something that is for someone here today. I've been praying about it since the start of the meeting. But I feel I've got a word for someone. So I'm just going to shut my eyes and just be faithful and just give it. There's someone here today who is enough to make a difference. You're in a situation where you're thinking, I'm not enough to make a difference. And God wants you to know this morning that you are enough to make a difference. And when you look at yourself and you think, I can't make a difference, and God is saying this morning, you are enough to make the difference. So I don't know who that's for, but it's for someone in here this morning. You are enough to make the difference. Okay. I wish I didn't have to wear these. Today I'm going to talk about Jude. So Jude is a one chapter book. It's just before Revelation. And to give you a bit of background for some of you, it's written by the half-brother of Jesus. And he was called Judas, but he used the name as Jude. As Judas, as you know, had negative connotations after Jesus died. He was a brother who didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God until he died and was resurrected. So it's a bit like having brothers and sisters at home and they don't always believe what you can do. And then suddenly you come out of the limelight and they see you in a different light. And that's what happened with Jude. So the first part of Jude, when I read it, is all about the shortcomings of men. And it's about how the deceivers came into the church. And people in the church then believed that they could get forgiveness from God, but they could do anything they wanted before that in order to get the forgiveness. And that's not how it works, is it? You don't be naughty and then ask for forgiveness afterwards, knowing that you've been naughty, do you? That's not how it works. So once God starts to change us, the onus is on us living a good life in front of God, but not messing about with it. That's the kind of background of the book. But the bit I want to concentrate on is, I was reading this recently, and it's a phrase and it's verse, just pop it up, Steve, slide one, and it's Jude, and it's verse 20 to 21. And I want us this morning to have a very brief look inward. And it says, keep yourself in the love of God. That's the theme of what I'm going to talk about today, keeping yourself in the love of God. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And when I read this particular verse, it really sort of keeping myself in the love of God. I found it just keeping myself in the love of God. Okay, keeping myself in the love of God. And it's a long time since I've read Jude, but I just want to explore this. On slide 2, which is Romans 5, verse 6, it says, Christ died for us while we were sinners. If we're having problems with the technology behind me, I don't know what's going on. All right. There's an activity at the top desk there. Don't worry about it, just listen. I want this to be a bit like a buffet this morning, and you just take something off the buffet. I want you to go home with something. Do you know what my heart is for all of you when I look around? And I'm singing and I'm watching and Irene this morning, I'm going to pray with you before you go. I'm going to pray for you before we go. I'm going to pray for you before you leave this morning. Yeah, you, Irene. When I look around in the morning, I'm looking at people and I'm singing and I'm praying and I'm thinking of people and I'm watching and I'm asking God. I'm talking to God about you. Talked to God about Irene this morning, and she needs prayer today. And I look at your faces. I look at your children's faces. And I'm talking all the time to God while I'm watching the congregation, and I absolutely love it. And my heart is that you do well. So the old-fashioned word in the Bible is prosper. My heart is that you do well. So today, just take something out of this today. So Christ died for us while we were sinners. So Jude doesn't mean live in such a way to make yourselves lovable to God. Instead, he's telling those people in the church and us, keep yourselves in the love of God by keeping harmony with God's ever-present love. By keeping harmony, I'm going to say that again, by keeping God's ever-present love. Now, we've talked quite a few times this last week, a few weeks, about all the stuff that's going on outside the building and all the stuff that's going on in the world and different things. But there's a key there, and it says, keep yourselves in the harmony with God's ever-present love. As church, we say we're a come-as-you-are church, don't we? So you come as you are. And you know I keep saying this phrase, but I'm going to keep saying it. I want people to come in as they are and not get themselves sorted before they come in, because they'll never come in. Come in as you are and let God start to deal with you. Let God start to speak to you about your life. As Ashley said before, when she was walking the dog, she knew that she wasn't in the right place. That's the Holy Spirit, that. The Holy Spirit talking to us. It's great, that. You know, our Father in heaven is so gentle with us that when we're getting it wrong or doing things wrong, he talks to us. People call it a conscience, but I believe there's more than that. There's more of a certain sensitivity of your spirit and God's spirit. Once you are a Christian, that connection with you and God, you know straight away when you're not doing things right. He's so gentle with us. You might say, well, God just loves me the way I am. And that's true. But in time with the Holy Spirit, the real meaning will be, God is so great that he loves even me. That he loves even me. The humbleness will come in and it will be, he loves even me. We know we can never be separated from God's love. And you know that my favourite scripture is Romans 8. So to clarify a bit more, what does not keeping yourself in the love of God look like? And I put, it's like living in the shade. Are you living in the shade, Christian? Are you living in the shade? Is the sun out and you're in the shade? You know, when I'm outside and I'm walking, like Ashley, with my dog, Alfie, and it's sunny, and there's a shady bit, you know, I cross over to get in the warm, particularly in the morning, because I'm out about 7, there's not a lot of sunshine in the morning, and even less and less now. But when the sun's out, I'll cross over the road and go somewhere warmer, rather than walk in the cold and the shade. Where we live, at the front of our house, at the front of our house is in the shade. And you can tell, because as soon as you go to the front part of the house, it's nice and cool. And as soon as you walk to the back part of the house, that's where all the sun's on. And the sun rises at the back of our house. And I'm a bit of a fair weather gardener, those that know me. I'm a bit of a fair weather gardener. So like when it's cold, I'm not really interested in going out in the garden. I try and talk myself into it. I have discussions with myself. I say things like, set a timer for an hour, and then you've done an hour, you can run back in. Because I feel the cold, I always have. And outside our house, we've got a flag's width of garden at the front. We've got lots of garden at the back, but the front we've got this flag's width. And I've done kind of miracles with this little flagged width. I put bulbs in, and this year I ended up having hollyhocks, which I planted about 3 years ago, and suddenly they came up and I didn't know what they were. I did by the time they grew. But I have to talk myself into doing the front. And if I ever do the front, I always do it after 3 o'clock. Because after 3 o'clock, it's warmer. The sun's out. It's come over the houses and I've got some warm. So I always kind of think, right, 3 o'clock, I'll go out there and weed or put bulbs in. I'm just about to put tulips in, but it won't be before 3 o'clock. Okay, get my glasses back on. Andy and I, our favourite part of the day, particularly when we're on holiday, we absolutely love, we've not done it for a while, but we love being on a balcony, and we love facing where the sun goes down, and we love those last few hours of the rays that are not too hot, because we're both freckly and pink and burn, and we love that thing of being on a veranda and watching the sun go down, and that's our favourite part of the day, feeling that last warmth of the day. People who don't keep themselves in the love of God end up living as if they're on the dark side, the shade. The sun is always out there, always shining, but they're never in a position to receive its light and warmth. We can deny the benefits of love. And we've got a great example of a person who denied the benefits of love. The Father's love was always there. The sun was always shining. And that's in Luke 15, for those of you who want to look it up. The prodigal son, one of my favourite stories, prodigal son. The light was shining. God was always there. The Father was always there. And I wanted to say this today. Another example is someone who's had the benefit of a Christian faith. They might have been brought up in it, or they've walked away. They're always loved by God, but for the time being, and I've put that in, for the time being, because faith's at work, they're not benefiting from that love, but for the time being. I've got a list of people who, for the time being, are not receiving God's love at the moment. Do you see what I'm saying? There's faith there, for the time being. We need to pray that they benefit from God's love. To be a disciple, you need to keep being built up. And you know, one of the essential things about church is this is also a place to be built up. Coming together, that's why I mentioned it. This is why I'm talking about making the cups of teas and coffees. It's the small things, but you build each other up. You encourage each other. Someone might need encouraging. I've really enjoyed the discipleship course because I've got to know Lynn better and I've got to know Julie better. And I've got to know Mary's son better. And I've got to know Manasseh. I've really got to know them better. And that's been really interesting, listening to them and talk about the faith. So when we get our other subject after Christmas, come when we do a different subject. It's important as a disciple, and some people think, well, what does a disciple mean? A disciple means a follower of Christ. It's important that we encourage each other. Very important. There's enough discouragement around, isn't there? Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. This means you're responsible for your own spiritual growth, and it means that you, me, cannot wait for spiritual growth to happen. You heard me speak a few weeks ago where I said your Christian life's not passive. I'm sure those people that have come on a Tuesday night who have come to learn more stuff about the Christian faith are now more encouraged to go on with God. They've learned stuff. It sparked questions. And that's what we need to do. We can't wait for spiritual growth to happen. We have to ask God to help us. And you know, so I've said a while ago that when COVID first started, that one of my prayers was, I'm a big believer in when something happens, God, help me learn out of what's going on. I don't want to just go through circumstances and come out the other end and gone, oh yeah, I've got through that and yeah, God's helped me. But I also want to learn from what I'm going through. I want some life lessons as well. I want to grow in circumstances. And one of the things I prayed was that God would, that I would grow more as a Christian by reading more and spending more time with God. And all I can tell you is I'm a completely different Christian since 2020 than I am now. 2 years on, I'm deeper rooted in God. I'm expecting God to do more things. My faith is more active, talking to God a lot more and I'm listening more. And it's that, if I'd not asked that question of God, I've not prayed that, that wouldn't happen. So I want to encourage you. A while ago, I was 20 pounds heavier than what I am now, and I don't mean 20 pound notes. But I made a decision to kind of sort myself out and not eat rubbish and walk more and eat better. And over a long, long period of time, I lost 20 pounds. Lisa's amazing. How much have you lost now, Lisa? 5 stone. Lisa's lost 5 stone. That, give her a clap. 5 stone. That's amazing. But what I'm trying to use, using that as an example, is if I go shopping and I put the same rubbish in the shopping basket, then go home and eat it, then sit on my bum and don't do any exercise, I'll still be 20 pounds heavier. But if I decide and make a change and ask to be different and ask God to help me, always God helping me, I've got to say, I'll be different. And that's what I want to encourage you today. Keep keeping in the love of God. Just as in the natural, so in the spiritual. You know, as leaders, we are really working hard to make this a conducive place for growth. And we'll do some more work after Christmas where we want, again, to bring some Bible study stuff together and encourage you. But we are really, really wanting your spiritual growth, whatever stage you're at. And we're always here for you to ask us questions. A prayer that we can regularly pray is moving our hearts and minds so that we can serve you and the body of Christ. One of the songs we sung this morning was, the foundation of our faith is God's love. We can't do anything without God's love. We can't do anything without loving him first, and we can't do anything without loving each other. And that's the foundation. I'd encourage you to pray in the Holy Spirit. It's another way to keep ourselves in the love of God. There's a battle about wrong living and wrong teaching. There's a spiritual battle out there, and it requires prayer. It requires prayer in the Holy Spirit. Those of you that are mature and intercessors, it requires you to pray. There's a battle going on, a spiritual battle going on. It's normal for our prayers to be about our own needs. But there's also a higher level of prayer where you start to pray for the needs of others, where it's not as inward, but it's outward. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit, helps us in our weakness. And he helps us what to pray. Some of you will pray in tongues. And if you want to know any more about that, look in Acts 2, verse 4, talk to Jed. Talk to Lisa, talk to me if you want to know any more about that. But the Holy Spirit enables us to pray. Sometimes I've sat before God, I've not been able to speak a word. I've just not been able to say anything. And I've just probably just started off by just saying, God, just help me. There are some situations we find ourselves in that sometimes we can't talk. When I was a young teenager, when I first became a Christian, I didn't pray a lot. I used to write letters to God. That sounds a bit weird. But I used to find I couldn't pray. That I had a lot to deal with, and I used to start off and I'd say, Dear God. I did. I used to write, Dear God, and I'd write things down. Because I felt I couldn't talk. Couldn't talk to people. I didn't have an adult I could talk with. Didn't have anyone I could talk with, and I used to write, Dear God. I used to have these letters. And that's what I used to do when I first became a Christian. And then I learned to get used to hearing my own voice, talking to God. God's good. So ask the Holy Spirit to help you and give you the right words. On slide 3, it says we may speak through groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit will do it through the gifts of tongues. A gift God gives us, seeking hearts. We want to communicate with him on a deeper level, other than normal conversation. I'd encourage you to speak in tongues, those of you who do. And don't be discouraged if any of you don't. I want to add that, Because what I want to say to you is it's not a natural thing to pray. And if you're praying, ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You can be filled at home. You don't have to be in church. God can fill you. It's not natural to pray. So any praying that you do is a win-win-win. Any praying that you do. We used to have a man that used to pray in church years ago. I'm not going to mention his name. But when he used to pray, oh my word, I used to think I could never pray like that. Because he used to pray these prayers and they were long and they were like all these long words. And what it did was it shut me up. I didn't pray because I thought, I can't be like that. Yeah, Linda's just mouthed the words of who it is. You know, she's been in the church long enough. But, you know, he was lovely and eloquent and everything and he was brilliant and he prayed. But it had the opposite effect on me because I thought, God will never do anything for me if I can't pray like that. And that's a load of rubbish. No one can pray without having the Holy Spirit. It's not natural to pray. Then the other thing that it goes on to say in Jude, it says, looking for the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So this is part of the same verse. This is the third way that we can keep ourselves in the love of God. We have our eyes on eternity. Our hope is in God's Son resurrected and who left and gave his Holy Spirit and helps us not give away our faith. You know, it's difficult for us, I know, because we're in this world here and now. But we really, really have to have our eyes on eternity. This is not my home. It's my flesh home, my body home. It's not my spirit home. It's not where I'm going to spend eternity. So I know we're in the world, but we're not of it. So, you know, that's got to have an impact on what you listen to and obviously all the other stuff that's going on at the moment. Don't get upset. You're not staying. You're visiting for a while, getting ready for the next phase of your journey. It's your spiritual home. God's getting you ready for. He talks about looking outward. He talks about having compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. That's the last part of the verse in Jude. You know, I always say to ask God for wisdom, James 5. And then using this wisdom, with the wisdom that God gives us, and this is why wisdom's so important, we have a different approach for each person. In management terms, they call it flexing. That's what they call it. So when you're with one person, you have a management style of this. When you're with another person, you have a management style of this. And when you're with another person, you have a management style. But what I want to tell you is in God's wisdom, you can have any style you want because you're asking God to give you wisdom to deal with the situations you're dealing with the people you're dealing with. And each person will be different because everyone needs something different. And the people that will come in for these warm spaces, because this warm spaces is a whole campaign across churches, across council buildings, across community centres. People will come in, and do you know what they're going to need? They're going to need somebody who's got some wisdom. They're going to need somebody who's calm. They're going to need someone who's showing them love and respect. That's what they're going to need. All those things, and God will give you wisdom. Christians should not abandon a friend who's struggling to understand the truth. They should help them through it in love. Our mission statement says people matter to God. That's our Carmel Christian Centre mission statement. This means that we'll continue to love no matter how difficult a person is, what people have done. We're not allowed to hate anyone. Even, you know, we have this degree of sins. We do. In our humanity, we have a degree of sins. We think things are worse than others. God sees sin as sin. We need to be full of compassion and watching over someone, helping them with accountability. The outward look is important because it demonstrates that we're not only concerned for our own spiritual welfare, but we're genuinely concerned about others. Those that haven't found faith yet. And it's also, this is important, Christian, because this is why conversations are very important. It's about helping those that are on the periphery, who may be on the edge, who may be in error or about to be. That's our responsibility as a church, to make sure that people aren't on the periphery. It's our responsibility in church that people come in, but they are spoken to before they leave. And it's our responsibility if we notice that someone's struggling in a particular area on the edge, that they don't that they don't fall off the edge, in a sense. That's our responsibility as Christians. So I'm finishing now, so I'm just going to summarise. Jude reminds us of God's care and our destiny. The answer lies in God's power. He's able to keep us and works with us. Partnership is a word that's bandied around every day. But the best, most successful partnership is with God, working through us and with us. And it says we will be presented before him with exceeding joy. When you read that further down in Jude, you're going to be presented with exceeding joy. He's going to be proud of you. Exceeding joy. Recognizing God's power and glory. This is forever, and it's forever, and it's forever, and it's forever, and it's forever. God's glory is forever. God has the victory. We need to stay with him to have the same victory. Our Christianities are not a dip in and a dip out. It's not. People live lives where they dip in and they dip out. That's not what Christian walk is. It's not a stop, start walk. It's a walk. So, point one, keep yourselves in the love of God. Pray in the Holy Spirit too. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ with an eternal focus. And I want to finish with this prayer that I'm going to pray over you. So let's close our eyes. Thank you, God, that you are the God of all glory, who is able to keep you from stumbling, and and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Thank you.